Radio Africana.
Your non-stop entertainment radio.
Well, a pleasant day to you, wherever you are listening to this platform, this dial, this radio station called Radio Africana. Well, it's the home of Afrobeats and all that concerns the beautiful continent Africa. Such a beautiful day, to be exact, the 16th of August 2025. It's that time on a Saturday where we present Africa Weekly. An opportunity for us to share some of the top stories, talk about culture and tourism, also sprinkle a bit of entertainment and score as many goals as we can when it's time for us to talk about sport and information. The Premier League season is on the way. So much excitement for football fans. This is when they truly are alive. Africa Weekly is just everything put together. It's packaged by Chris Okunua and yours truly, Emmanuel Ete. There's so much to share. As I mentioned, we'll talk current affairs. We'll talk culture and tourism. Tell you a good destination for you to take your family to or just go alone and have a great time. A place on the African continent. There would also be some entertainment stories to share. I saw the news about Chike saying if you get married, you're like in prison. I said, no, I'm going to talk about it on the show. And also sports, as I mentioned, Manchester United, Arsenal, that's a massive fixture. It doesn't happen today, it's tomorrow, it's a big one. I will tell you everything there is on this broadcast, Africa Weekly on Radio Africana. We're going to break, we'll return, we'll get our tit into it. This is a brilliant composition. You know, when you've got Wizkid and you've got Asake, it will be a classic.
See the life thing, yeah, it's all about understanding, bro. You gotta understand what you're doing. You need a direction.
What's up on the time? When I just try. When I drop a song, I go need to dance. I do what I could get it, I dey pay my price. Then I find the sound among all the sounds. I no get a name, I no say no sound. Sound, Mr. Money sound. I want the precise.
I be lying, military, my chop my enemy. Vigilant, forgive me, Lord, I dey on your knees.
Cemetery, people, we don't die, people, cemetery.
Life is not easy, I know it's not easy, you got to do the things.
So funny.
Long for my city gone. You know we run from who you are. Man, waiting go be, man is cast in stone.
Modubel all long power salute. Mowari titi mo de sham you. I do well long to call me yo. Kade man she won't tali she kade man yo.
Oh you're long. My mama leave me, yeah, you know long. Lost myself and I found my purpose. Yeah, every day I know that I am blessed. So tonight because you love me, yo. Yeah, they got your room, not in my no face. Vibe today. These kind things in our life we do.
That's a beautiful song. Every chord hit the right note. Is that how they say it? Salutations again to Wizkid and Ashake. That's the reason why they've got. Does Ashake has no Grammy? I was gonna say maybe soon. See, he's quality. Welcome back. It's Africa Weekly with Emmanuel Atim, Chris Okunowa standing somewhere and saying, "Yeah, go on, Emmanuel, go on, song." Just for those who do not understand Yoruba, in a nutshell, just Ashake's translation as every single thing that happens all year long, the Lord understands. That's for those who've got some inklings or affiliations with Christianity, or if you've got faith, yeah. But if not, it's all good. If you're 80s, we don't discriminate religion here on Africa Weekly. Whatever it is, as long as you're listening to us, that's fine. Huh? Let's talk current affairs now. This fine Saturday, it's all about first the African Union. They've come out to back a campaign to end the use by government and international organizations the use of the 16th century Mekato map. It's the map you find everywhere, which is practically used for navigations. It was created by a cartographer called Gerardos Mercator, which just give it its name. They have a problem with it, the African Union. They say it somehow just paints Africa not in the perfect picture, literally. They want a new map that would be more accurate when it displays the size of the African continent. So they say the current map of the world makes Africa look a bit funny. And the projection distorts continent sizes, it enlarges areas, particularly near the poles like North America and Greenland, while it shrinks Africa and South America. For the African Union Commission Deputy Chairperson, her name is Selma Malika Hadidi. She was speaking to Reuters saying, it might seem to be just a map, but in reality, it's not, she said. She also went in to add that this current map, called the Mercator World Map, has given a false impression of the size of the African continent, saying it was being a bit marginal despite being the world's second largest continent by area with over a billion people. And we know the African Union has 55 member states. So she's just anti-stereotype, saying this is one of the reasons why such stereotypes influence media, education, and policy. So she's not excited about it. And also, it's not the first time that you'd find criticism of the Mercator map. It's not new. A campaign called Correct the Map, it was led by advocacy groups Africa No Filter and Speak Up Africa. They've also revived the debate, urging organizations, governments, anyone who is pro using maps to do what they want to do, to just, you know, not consider that accurate. They have urged, you know, all of these entities I mentioned to adopt the 2018 Equal Earth Projection, which tries to reflect countries' true sizes. Moki Makure, who's the executive director of Africa No Filter, said the current size of the map of Africa is wrong. It's the world's longest misinformation and disinformation campaign, and it just simply has to stop, he said. So we are, I don't know if I'm pro, you know, Mercator or anti-Mercator, but again, it's not just a map. If you would project certain islands and continents in the right shape and size, and when it comes to, you know, identifying or just laying bare the exact size of the African continent, and lots of distortion, as a gentleman I just read his quote mentioned, disinformation and misinformation, then it becomes a problem. So this is being handled by the African Union now, so it's quite a big deal for them. Hadidi also went in to say that the African Union have officially endorsed the campaign, adding it aligned with its goal of reclaiming Africa's rightful place on the global stage, just amid growing calls for reparations for colonialism and slavery. The African Union will continue to advocate for wider map adoption, and they will just have some extensive discussions. It would be quite a collective action also with member states, she added. The Mercator projection is still widely used, including by schools, tech companies. If you walk into an organization, you'd find the map, any map you find at the moment, is currently painting Africa and not the way it should paint. Google Maps switched from Mercator on desktop to a 3D globe view in 2018. But again, users can still switch to Mercator if they prefer. So for the African Union, nope, we want Africa depicted correctly. And I say aye to that. In South Africa, the army chief has been criticized after he reportedly pledged military and political support to Iran during a recent visit to the country. Members of South Africa's governing coalition have accused the general, his name Rudzani Mfawenya, of reckless grandstanding. While, of course, the president Cyril Ramaphosa confirmed he will have to meet the general to discuss his calls it an ill-advised trip, because how are you a general, not without the permission of the president of the country or even those in parliament, and you have the, as we say, temerity, the audacity to pledge military and political support to Iran during a diplomatic visit? Well, This comes as South Africa navigates tense relations with the United States, and you know, we in the United States do have, you know, quite the sentiments towards Iran. And again, this situation between South Africa and the US has taken exception to the country's ties with Iran, among other issues. So the United States is saying, we're imposing sanctions, we're imposing fines, we're cutting down aid, and you're trying to ensure that you still keep your ties with Iran while you're coming to appeal to us. So it's a bit confusing. Well, the Democratic Alliance, part of South African government, called for the general Mfwanya to be court-martialed. That's what they do to military people. It said his comments had gone beyond military to military discussions and entered the realm of foreign policy. I agree. Now, the general's trip was aimed at strengthening military's cooperation, but during his meeting with his Iranian counterpart, he said that the two countries, that's South Africa and Iran, had common goals and always stood alongside, and I quote, the oppressed and defenseless people of the world. Well, according to a publication in Iran, it was the Tehran Times that put it out. He also took aim at Israel over the continued war in Gaza, and he reiterated support for the Palestinian people. And told officials his visit carries a political message from the current president's administration, which, by a statement from the executive, means it's false. Well, the South African government, they've come out and say, no, this is false, my friend. We didn't instruct you to go to Iran and make all of this pledge. So they've distanced itself from the comments. The department labeled them quite very unfortunate, while the Foreign Affairs Ministry said they do not represent the government official foreign policy stance. Because if you're trying to be an ally with the United States, who have got quite the sentiments, as I mentioned, towards Iran, and you're going to pledge, I don't know, diplomatic relations with them, it's crazy. Well, the general has since returned home. He's a general, he would not be afraid. South Africa's strong ties with Iran have been a bone of contention with the United States, and was one of the reasons relations between the two countries, as I mentioned, soared earlier this year. The President Donald Trump, in an executive order, had to cut off certain aid to South Africa, and also accused Africa's largest economy of reinvigorating relations with Iran, an implacable foe of the US. Choy! Anyways, I wish South Africa all the best, and the general, certainly, the calls for him to be court-martialed. I'll keep you abreast. Probably the next time I return in Africa Weekly alongside Chris, he might maybe be court-martialed or just take it off his position. The general himself has been accused of reckless grandstanding. His name, Rudzani Mfwanya. Well, away from a general who's on a mission to unite South Africa and Iran, there's something going down in Mali, and it's crucial we talk about it in Africa Weekly this Saturday. The military rulers say they've arrested a French national on suspicion of spying for his country, all in an attempt to destabilize the African nation. This was put out, it was televised when they made this remark just some days back. They alleged that Yann Vizelier was working on behalf of the French intelligence service. Well, the man they have been accused of is yet to comment on the accusation, but his picture was also broadcast alongside those of a number of army generals who have also been arrested recently for allegedly planning to overthrow the military government. So there's so much tension going down in Mali. One is suspecting a gentleman called Vesler of being a spy, and then arresting numbers of generals and officials, army generals, for trying to overthrow the military government. Well, France, Mali's former colonial ruler, also yet to comment on the man's arrest and allegations of destabilization. We know Mali has been gripped by security crisis, which often is fueled by an Islamist insurgency that has it's been on since 2012. It's one of the reasons given for the military takeover, but again, attacks by jihadist groups have continued and even increased. Loads and loads of speculation about the alleged coup, the plot to just usurp the current administration. General Mohamedine confirmed that certain elements of the Malian armed security forces had been detained for seeking, and I quote, to destabilize the institutions of the Republic. Incredible stuff going on. Well, the man who's considered as the junta leader, General Assimi Goïta, he seized power in both 2020 and 2021, had promised elections last year in Mali, but this have never been held. And in July, the transition period was extended by 5 years, clearing him to continue leading the country until at least 2030. You took power, you promised the people there would be an election last year. It hasn't happened. There was supposed to be a transition period this July, which is last month. That didn't happen. But rather, what happened was an extension of his administration by 5 years, which means if nothing happens democratically, Mali will continue to be ruled by military government until at least 2030. Well, alongside its neighbors, Niger and Burkina Faso, it enlisted the help of Russian allies to contain the jihadist attacks in the region after severing ties with France, but there's been no significant improvement in terms of security. Keep you also abreast the situation in Mali. We'll take two more stories just before we go on a break. This is Cape Verde, not pleasant pictures coming through from that beautiful country. They've had to declare a state of emergency on the island of São Vicente in São Antão after deadly floods which killed at least 9 people and forced 1,500 from their homes. It was essential for the state of emergency to be declared, essential because you've got people dying and people being made homeless. It was a flash flood which triggered a certain storm which has been named, as they often do. They do name storms after women mostly. Not sure why that is. There must be a reason why. This time leading to 193 millimeters of rain in just 5 hours, far above São Vicente's annual range. And the Deputy Prime Minister Alvaro Correa had to come out. He was speaking to the BBC, mentioned that the floods were catastrophic. Well, the pictures I saw and footage is beyond catastrophic. Esther Brito, who's from the country's Meteorology Institute, told Reuters also that the weather conditions were pretty uncommon. It's something they haven't seen in a long time in Cape Verde. It's a rare situation because what was recorded is above 30-year climatologist average, which is quite concerning. So they have decided to ensure that people are safe. The ones they can rescue are rescued. Tens of thousands of euros have already been raised to buy food, water, hygiene products and emergency supplies. The president of Hello Cabo Verde in France, named André Levy, told the BBC that the entire diaspora was mobilized and they plan to deliver aid directly. We also just share sympathies from Africa Weekly to all affected in the deadly floods out there in Cape Verde. It's a good place to visit, but at the moment, though, the islands of São Vicente and Santo Antão is quite concerning. In 30 seconds, I'll tell you there's still concerns over the body of the former Zambian president Edgar Lungu. I mentioned this on the broadcast last weekend, that he died in South Africa where he was receiving treatment. He is from Zambia, but the situation is the family wants him to be buried in Zambia, but the Zambian authority wants him to come back to his body, that is, to come back, to be brought back to the country, so he'll be given, you know, what I call a presidential send forth. But the family do not want that because while he was still alive, I think he made a pledge that he didn't want the current president, the incumbent, to be present when that happens. That's talking about Hakainde Hichilema, who scored a landslide victory over Edgar Lungu at the 2021 presidential election. It was the sixth time he had run for president and he defeated President Lungu. So it's pretty dicey at the moment. His body is still in South Africa, but a Supreme Court, or a High Court rather, passed a law ruled in favor of the Zambian government that the body should be repatriated to Zambia, while the family continue to insist that no, we have to bury him in South Africa. So it's a bit of a dilemma. Despite the court's verdict, the family have appealed that decision, and it's been pushed forward for some days, so they can all negotiate or something. Let's just bury the man in peace indeed, and let's stay safe. May he rest in peace. At the moment, he's not resting in peace. We go on a break. An Africa Weekly, enough of the current affairs talk. When we return, it'll be time for us to journey across the continent, profile a country, tell you why it's the best tourist destination this weekend, and much more on Africa Weekly.
They told me everybody's 15 minutes in a different time zone. And since I have it at the moment, you the one I wanna shine my light on. Get your life, little mama, won't you get your life on? Ain't nothing cooler than the wrong moves when you do them to the right song, the right song. Let's shoot this movie and put the shit on repeat. I hope this memories are making me fall asleep. Before we hit the road, put our phones on silent. Nobody's trying to bring sand to the beach. What would it take to change your plans for the weekend? Cause I am trying to kick it like eating. The whole thing, the pre-party, the pre-sex. Then we hit the major league with a Jesus.
Yeah, I like you, girl, in particular. You in particular. See, I like your waist in particular. I like you, girl, in particular. Yeah, you in particular. Say, I like your waist in particular.
Welcome back, still listening to Africa Weekly on Radio Africana this fine Saturday. We're broadcasting live from Manchester. DJ Mafariza, Major Lazer, Particular, released 2017, yeah. But it still feels fresh if you listen to it. Great composition and the vocals by African rapper Nasta C. You had Ice Prince in then, Paturankin. Yeah, that's a classic. Let's talk culture and tourism on the broadcast. We know Africa, like Chris will always say, is not a country, it's a continent. It's got 54 beautiful countries. Nigeria, the best of them all. I hear someone in Ghana saying, do you guys have light? No, not yet. Well, we do. Maybe. About 50%. Okay. It's horrible, though, but I'm not talking that now. Let's tell you why Africa and the country I'm about to choose is a great destination choice this Saturday. There'll be a choice from, should I do the western part of Africa? No, rather the southern part of Africa. So I'm talking Namibia. That's our chosen tourist destination on Africa Weekly this fine Saturday. We know Namibia, beautiful country, striking travel destinations. There's so much beauty there. You talk landscape, dramatic natural beauty, and the fact that it's the home to the Namib Desert, which factually it's the world's oldest desert. It's got its iconic red dunes of setting glow, which pops out at sunrise and at sunset. There's also this contrast of the desert sands, where they get the chance to meet the Atlantic Ocean along the skeletal coast. And for those who've been there, they say it makes for some of the most surreal scenery on the African continent. And for those who enjoy wilderness, Namibia offers what many will consider to be an unforgettable sense of space and serenity, which is something I like. And beyond landscapes now, it's a premier wildlife destination. We're talking the Etosha National Park, which is renowned globally when it comes to game viewing, where you have the chance to behold the beauty of elephants, as they say in France. Jurian is dramatization in the studio. There's also the chance for you to see lions this time, also rhinos. I'm not sure how that's said in French, so I'll just call it rhinos and giraffes. Just all across the pack there, it's beautiful sight. Unlike some of Africa's more crowded packs, in Namibia, tourism isn't as high peak as what you find in Kenya, which means you get the chance, so you could even tap on the head or the mane of a lion. I'm not saying do that, okay? And if you're an adventure seeker, you would enjoy activities like sandboarding somewhere in the Swak Mound. There's also hot air balloon. All of this rides over the desert and the stargazing under some of the clearest skies you'd find on the planet. It's also rich, that country, Namibia, in cultural diversity. It's over a dozen ethnic groups. I'll tell you about the biggest one in terms of tribe and ethnicity out there in just a bit. But for tourists, you get a chance to engage with certain traditions locally, crafts and communities from the semi-nomadic Himba, the Himba tribe, and north to the San Bushmen of the Kalahari, combined with excellent infrastructure. They also do have some level of political stability, so there's nothing for you to be afraid of. It's a beautiful country, stands out as both an accessible and safe African travel destination, and it gives you the balance between wildlife and cultural immersion. So I mentioned tribes, which takes us to our next disc. So now you know we are propelling Namibia as the place to be, and I've given you reasons why it's a beautiful tourist destination, one of the countries on the African continent. And they've got the people called the Awambo. Yeah, they are the largest ethnic group in Namibia, make up about half of the population. And if you get the chance, you probably want to go see how they live their life traditionally. They settled on the fertile north near the Angolan border. The Awambo people, known for their strong communal way of life and agricultural heritage, it's a culture that emphasizes kinship, as it has to do with respect for elders, and they've got this structured system of leadership under chiefs. They've retained many traditions, which also help them blend with modern Namibian society, but again, still maintaining that vibrant cultural identity. In terms of the religion, the Awambo people, or Awambo, if you may, they practice ancestral worship and spiritual traditions, which often is centered around nature and familiar spirits. But today, however, the majority of the Awambo people are Christians. They've accepted Jesus, the Lord and Savior of their life. They all declared him holy, largely due to the Lutheran missionary influence way back in the 19th century. Yeah. But again, they do combine practices, those who believe in Christianity and also those who are pro-traditional customs, which, you know, just gives you that unique spiritual blend. It's what defines the Avambo people. And in terms of the women, the women, they play a vital role in family and community life. They manage agriculture, the good farmers, they enjoy preparing food. None of them have complained that they woke up late or they're tired. They enjoy it. And also household responsibilities. They also are custodians of traditional crafts like basket weaving and pottery. In Awambo, the women are highly respected as life givers and sustainers of the family, though traditional gender roles are still strong in certain rural areas. But people do pay homage and salutations to a woman. So if you're an Awambo woman, you know you're like a mini god. One more take on this culturally, in terms of the food, the cuisine is rooted in farming. Local produce, the Awambo people, they enjoy beans, which also takes them to Mahangu, which is pear millet, and locally brewed sorghum beer. In terms of meat, they enjoy beef and chicken. It's also important, often grilled or stewed, and they just don't eat alone. Okay, they are Awambo people, enjoy, you know, communal living, and so food is shared. They just simply reflect the collective spirit they have there. In terms of music and dance, it's central to the Awambo cultural expression, often performed at weddings, festivals, and community gatherings. Drums instrumental there, and rattles accompanying rhythmic dances. So if you travel literally today to Namibia and you decide to go, just take a gaze at how the Awambo people live. The influence is strong in Namibia's modern music scene, so most of the jams you'd be hearing out there that have been composed by one or two people from the Awambo clan. So that's it from the culture and tourism segment of Africa Weekly this Saturday. Destination, we've amplified Namibia, and the tribal is saying you can go and enjoy and just take a gaze at how they live their life are the Awambo people. Also, big shout out to the Himba people of northern Namibia, who are one of the country's most iconic and visually distinct tribes. While we return from this break, I think the song has something to do with Bebe. Yeah, okay. Dedicating it to the women of the Awambo tribe, you know, for taking care of the men out there. So Bebe, this is for them. While we return, it will be time for us to talk entertainment and then sports.
Day and key tonight. Make a play with your pee tonight. Now me and you tonight. I'm so angry tonight. Make me happy tonight. If you smoke back it tonight, then I go give you back it tonight. Yeah.
Oh baby, I'm feeling good, baby. Don't know if you feel it too, baby. She make with the move, baby. Talk on me love for this. Pepe, how you gon' say I don't miss you, Pepe? She make with the move, Pepe.
Cause you be my girl. Got a lot of neighbors on my car. And I will use the rubber and the nylon. Then I fly you back to Niger by dawn.
I got you cool now. Me out there for you and all along. Like them rip you come out for nylon. I don't book apartments for Nikon.
We can be happy tonight. My day and key tonight. Make a play with your pee tonight. Now me and you tonight. I'm so angry tonight. Make me happy tonight. If you smoke back it tonight, then I go give you back it tonight. Yeah.
Oh baby, I'm feeling good, baby. I don't know if you feel it too, baby. She make with the move, baby. Talk me love for this. Baby, I go say I don't miss you, baby. Show up with the move, baby.
Welcome back, oh baby. Such a beautiful tune. I think my choice selection today, it feels like something off the Billboard chat, but this is my chat on Africa Weekly. Thank you for keeping your dial locked into Radio Africana, broadcasting across the world from Manchester to the world. Emmanuel Atem alongside Chris Okunowa, taking you through all the best there is. We have exhausted our current affairs segment. We've made do with the culture and tourism segments. Let's talk entertainment this Saturday. We'll start off in Ghana, Akwaba. This time it's a movie producer who's complaining. Her name is Zandi Kamel. She's saying, ha, Charlie, the reason why Ghana movies not as sell. Okay, no, my Ghanaian accent isn't perfect, so I just stick with what I know. But she's quite, I wouldn't say angry, she's just a bit disappointed. Talking about how, you know, you don't find too many Ghanaian productions on YouTube doing too well compared to Nollywood. Because if you go on YouTube and search African movie, and this is no publicity, it's just factual, it out of 10, 9 of those would be a production by a Nigerian. You know, I wouldn't give them names, but it's just there, you just find them. So she's a bit, you know, concerned. Even though you do have a few Ghanaian movie producers who are making efforts to tap into this, which is quite true, growing popularity of producing films for YouTube, and so much benefit that comes with it because they pay them royalties and whatever it is YouTube pay their content creators, as they are called. But there's just this progress that remains slow. The Ghanaians are complaining if you compare to other African movie industries, such as the biggest, Nollywood. That's the platform that continues to dominate African YouTube movie space, and the streams are ridiculous, the subscriptions incredible, the revenue amazing. So Ghana's presence on the platform remains minimal, just a handful of producers who have the chance to attract modest viewerships and earnings. So the actress and also producer herself, Zandi Kamel, she's been, you give her flowers, she's been steadily producing movies, you know, for YouTube. She believes she knows exactly why Ghana's film industry has yet to thrive on the platform. She was speaking, by the way, to a platform, a Graphic Showbiz show, where she mentioned that, I'm going to be honest with you, she didn't mince words. She said the reason why is simply because Ghanaian actors do not support producers. So if you're a Ghanaian actor listening to me today, shame on you. Well, based on the statement she made, saying it's often difficult for producers to assemble a cast. Also lamented that local actors, Ghanaian actors now, sometimes quote exorbitant and unreasonable fees, which creates that barrier for filmmakers to, you know, put a production together. And she says, unlike Nigerian actors who are happy to help out, saying, and I quote now, this is not my words, they are the words of Zandi Kamel, saying, making movies for YouTube is really difficult in Ghana because even industry persons are not willing to support. If you approach someone to even join your cast, the amount they quote is so huge that you end up questioning how much you are even going to make after putting all the production costs into consideration. When I decided to work on my recent movie on Sin Beauty, my own people in Ghana were not supportive, she said. They asked for the script when I approached them, and after going through it, they quoted huge amounts as their charges. They go like, I'm not a YouTuber, but because you, I'll do a YouTube, just give me 10,000 Ghana cedis. Which is, you know, pretty much ridiculous, she says. That is why I ended up casting Nigerian actors. They are very considerate. Hey, you see? Naija guys, they try. Naija know they carry last. But again, this, I think, you know, they have to find a way to ensure that they work together, as it's beneficial for Nigerian actors and producers. Hopefully in the days ahead it will be likewise for the Ghana movie production. What do they call them in Ghana? Gollywood? No, I don't think so. Away from her statement, but salutations again to Zandi Kamel. Someone had to speak up for the producers. Let's talk about this not too pleasant report coming through about a Nigerian actor who has died, very famous for those who are big fans of Nollywood and the African movie scene, because he's not just restricted to Nigerian movies, but he's Nigerian, Olusegun Akinremi, who's professionally known as Chief Karan. He reportedly passed away on Friday morning at the age of 72. Very heartbreaking. That's a man who's done quite a lot for the industry. He's been a part of the film industry and known for his role as General Phillips, the now rested TV soap mega fortune. Quite the actor. But at 72 rather, I'm not sure if to say he aged. I think he did, maybe. Yeah, well, very heartbreaking. So we wish the family the fortitude to bear the loss of the famous Nollywood actor Olusegun Akinremi, who died on Friday morning. Well, he's not dead, he's alive, but he's in jail. He's got an affinity to the African continent. His name is Sean Kingston. He's been sentenced to 3.5 years in jail over $1 million fraud, $1 million fraud. The guy who sang "Your Way to Beautiful Girl," apparently he's a guy who does some fraudulent scheme which involves luxury goods. So he walks up to people and say, give me this, and advertise for you, and he doesn't do it. So prosecutors said Kingston used the celebrity status to obtain high value items, including a bulletproof Cadillac, fancy, lots of luxury watches, and a 19-foot LED. What's he doing with a 19-foot LED television? Lock him in jail. No, I'm not saying that, but he's now been officially sentenced to 3.5 years in jail over $1 million fraud. He's not alone, though. His mother also was arrested. This was way back in 2024 when they raided his mansion in Fort Lauderdale. Okay, one more story and then we'll go on a break. This one, I don't know how to classify this, but I like him. He makes great music, Chike. He's revealed that if you get married, now you sabi, as they say in Nigeria, he says marriage is a stupid setup, Chike says. He was being interviewed on this one-on-one broadcast Chude show, and he's 32. He said, in my opinion, in fact, I think it's a stupid step to get married. That's my opinion. Okay, no wala, Chike. I think he just doesn't like commitment outside of music, because musically he keeps churning out hit after hit. I'm not going to, you know, amplify the other remarks he made, but he's just come out to say that, hey, thinks marriage isn't worth it. Let's go on a break and listen to What Is Worth It, a song from Chike. Not sure what the producer has chosen, but I reckon you'll like it. When we return, it'll be time to talk sport. HEK's composition. Good music. He says marriage is slavery. I just had to. That's quoting him out of context, he would say. Welcome back. I've got less than 5 minutes before I take my Gwongwara out of the Studio Africa Weekly on Radio Africana, broadcasting live from Manchester. Let's talk sports. Charity this time, not in Manchester, out there in Abuja, the capital of Nigeria, where the Golden Eaglets, they are the under-17 side of the Nigerian national setup. They're getting set for a championship called the Wafubi Tournament. They played a friendly game and they scored 13 goals, not in one match though, but in four matches preparing for the competition, which gets underway later in September. It's a tournament that serves as a qualifier for the African Under-17 Cup of Nations and also a gateway to the FIFA Under-17 World Cup. And I've got to mention this, Nigeria have missed the last two editions of the tournament, which is an irony because the Golden Eaglets, as they are called, are five-time FIFA Under-17 World Cup winners and two-time African champions. But they're preparing well, and we wish them all the best. The side who do not need our best wishes are the under-23 team, the Chan squad, who have been knocked out of the Championship of African Nations. You play two games, you got bamboozled. They have a third match to play, inconsequential. So what I wish them, safe trip back from Tanzania to Lagos or Abuja, wherever the flight decides to stop. All right, let's talk Premier League football now. The season is underway, got underway just some stone throw from where I reside. And it was pretty much emotional and celebratory because they started with loads and loads of tributes for Diogo Jota, who passed on, the former Liverpool player. And eventually, after 90 minutes, Liverpool succeeded. They won 4-2. Against AFC Bournemouth. There's so much all around that fixture because a gentleman who scored a brilliant goal, Semenyo, said he was racially abused, which is, you know, quite a concern that will be looked into. And also shout out to Federico Chiesa, the guy who scored Liverpool's third, who says it was dedicated to Diogo Jota. Everything that happened on Saturday at Anfield was dedicated to Diogo, who passed on some weeks back. A bit of transfer stories. Manchester United have said, okay, we are done chasing you. Baleba, go away. We don't want to sign you anymore. That's confirming they've ended their interest. The BBC are making this official. The Manchester United have ended their interest in Brighton's Baleba. As it stands now, they say, no, we'd rather go for a gentleman who played for the team, Ruben Amorim, coached at a point. They're now assessing their midfield situation, and Sporting Lisbon captain Morten Homland, a player Amorim knows very well, he's likely to be available. He's just 26 and he's a Danish international. Speaking of Manchester United, they succeeded in getting Sesko, who joins the club side. They also signed Konya, they also signed Brian Mbeumo, and United are set to play Arsenal tomorrow. Speaking of fixtures, Manchester United, Arsenal, that's the big game. But Friday, as I mentioned, Liverpool succeeded with a 4-2 win. Earlier today, the lunchtime kickoff, Aston Villa and Newcastle United ended goalless. Surprising, but they are games live as we speak in the Premier League. Sunderland 3-0 against West Ham United. That's a shocking. Brighton are leading Fulham by 1-0, and Tottenham Hotspur have dispatched successfully Burnley by 3-0. There's also the other top flights that have gotten on the win and the whatnot. So what we're into next week, that will be pretty much a compilation of how the first game week has gone across Europe. And also today, just as I wrap up the presentation, is when they sent a legend of Nigerian football home. He was buried earlier today, Chairman Christian Chukwu, a man who led Nigeria to her first African Cup of Nations title way back in 1980. Played almost an entire life at Rangers, which makes him a one club man. He's a legend, and legend he would always remain. That's the size of the show today, Africa Weekly on Radio Africana. I hope you enjoyed every second as I did. Shout out to my producer, Jore, and also my co-uncle, Chris Okudowa. Until we return next week, wish you a fantastic weekend.
You wanna try and hide in the dark corners of the night, but please don't get too scared, because there's no human who
He walks like a human being.